Good morning to each one of you. It's a blessing to be here and to be worshiping together. Thank you for each one that shared and had part this morning. Have you ever thanked the Lord for life? You ever thanked the Lord that you are alive today and He has given you life? You're here. We are blessed. Have you ever thanked Him for allowing you to live, go through the night, to live and awake this morning, and to be alive? And also, have you ever thought or pondered about how wonderful it is to have life in the Lord, to be redeemed, to what a blessing it is for redemption? For we've heard so much already this morning on the light and just a blessing that it is for life. To be delivered from what's at stake, to be delivered from eternal damnation. And thinking about, imagine if you lived without hope. You lived without, you had no hope for the future. You woke up in the morning, it was another day of dread. And I was just thinking this week, I was at the hardware store, and there was somebody in the line ahead of me, and somebody that I had known, not real well, but I often wondered where this person is at with the Lord, and I just exchanged glances with him, and just not a smile, not just sadness. And I could see in his face there was just something not quite, just not right. And I just wonder where that person is at spiritually. And I don't want to judge anybody, because maybe he was having a horrible day, bad day, and just things were not going well. I don't know. But just to think about how wonderful it is for life. And the title of the message is The Abundant Life. And you can turn to John 10, verse 10. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here at this verse, but this is kind of the, you could say, the theme verse for this morning. John 10, verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Just to stop and think what this verse is meaning, this verse is saying. This is Jesus speaking and saying that He is come. So He came to this earth. He came as a baby, lived on this earth, and died. So that's what He means where He's saying, "I am come. I am come." And for the reason is that they, meaning us as Christians, might have life. And He doesn't stop with just life. It's not just living life, but it's abundant life. And that is such a blessing, to be able to live the abundant life. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And I don't believe it's talking about life abundantly as in material abundance. Having lots of possessions and a barn full of store of goods. But the life is talking about spiritual life, I believe, that Christ desires spiritual life, abundant spiritual life. If He was talking about material possessions, Jesus would probably be the richest man on earth if He was talking about abundance of possessions. And so life is, I don't believe it's talking about the physical life that we have, that we're living, we're breathing, we're alive. But it's the abundant life in Jesus Christ, a life that is meaningful, that is rich, that is filled with joy and purpose and vision. Christ desires that for us this morning. And it says more abundantly. The Greek word here means exceedingly abundantly above, beyond measure, more, superfluous, vehemently, a quality so abundant as to be considerably more than what one would expect or anticipate. So the life that Christ desires for us is even way above than what we would even anticipate or expect. He wants us to have a purpose. He wants us to wake up in the morning and know that we are needed on this earth, that we are, that there's a reason that we're here and a purpose for us, and just to be excited for the day for what God has in store for us. And so the meaning of the word life is obviously opposite that of dead. So alive, that is, and each one of us that are here this morning are alive. We're living, breathing, we have life within us. We came to church this morning and we are alive. And to think that God gives us life, we should praise God for that every day. We should be praising the Lord that he gives us life and we can enjoy life. The quality that distinguishes a vital and functional being from a dead body. And as I mentioned before, each one of us here are alive. And, you know, as I was thinking about today, so many people that you see, that you meet, just seem to be dead. Just seem to be, there's no life, they're just sad faces, and it's sad to see. And even some Christians you might see that are like that. And I believe that as Christians, we really should be reflecting Jesus Christ with a smile, because that is, he gives us life, the abundant life, and with that joy radiating through us, to just to reflect who Jesus is through us to the world. And as I was studying this here for this message, I was sitting there at the computer, and I have sometimes, I don't know if you have it the same way or not, but when an email comes in, there's a little slider thing that comes in and shows you the headline or whatever for the email. Maybe, I don't know, I didn't figure out how to get that turned off yet. So anyway, they come in, and every email comes in, and it, so anyway, as I was sitting there, I see, just glance at the headline, and this is what the headline said: Zombie Pigs, Reconsidering the Definition of Death. Zombie Pigs, Reconsidering the Definition of Death. Well, I gotta go see what that is, what that's saying. So I went and looked at it, and here it's an interesting article, and I'm going to read that real quickly here. What happens when you die? Well, if you're a group of pigs in an experiment at Yale University, you partially come back to life. And so I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit. This experiment may force us to reconsider how we define the line between life and death. So what happened was, researchers at Yale induced cardiac arrest in some pigs, taking precautions to avoid causing the animals any suffering. The pigs were dead for an hour before something almost miraculous happened. Their hearts began to beat again. Cells that had been dead were revived and began healing themselves. These pigs were in no way conscious, but according to Yale neuroscientist Ninan Seesten, we restored some functions of cells across multiple vital organs that should have been dead without our interventions. So how did they do this? By channeling their inner mixologists, the Yale team crafted a proprietary cocktail including nutrients, nerve blockers, anti-inflammatory meds, and other drugs. They mixed this solution called Organ X with the pig's blood and pumped it back through their bodies. That's when some of those organs started to wake up from their slumber. And then it goes on to say, what this could mean for humans. A primary goal of this experiment, the scientist said, is to use this technology to increase the number of organs available for transplant. Right now, 17 people die every day waiting for an organ, but 20% of donor organs are discarded due to poor quality. And so they go on to say what their goal is, to try to be able to make organs survive longer and a longer time. And so these results could lead scientists and bioethicists to revisit their timeline of when a person should be considered dead. Because what the pig study shows is that cells may be able to recover after being deprived of oxygen and blood for a lot longer period than we've understood. And so that gets a little sketchy when thinking of being able to decide when a person can die or not, because God knows when a person dies. But if you're trying to do something like this to save an organ longer, to be able to save somebody else's life, you know, that's one thing, but to say that you can bring somebody back to life, that's sketchy. But anyway, I was it just caught my attention to what they did to these pigs. They actually, after dead for an hour, they were able to get their hearts beating again. And I don't know, it's just interesting to what they're able to do. But what I want to think about, what I want to get from this article here is, how can we fan the flame in our lives to bring us back to life, so to speak, to revive us? And sometimes we need revivals. I do believe that. Sometimes we can get into a drag, and we need to get to spruce things up and have revival. And that's what, you know, that's what God does. He takes somebody who is dead in their sins, and he raises them to life. And that is such a blessing to see God do that. And maybe we are living for the Lord, and we just need a boost or something. And just thinking about the abundant life that we have in Jesus Christ. So the first point I want to look at here is essentials for life on earth. So thinking about life, there's essentials that we need to live on this earth. And I want to open it up a little bit. I have five things down here that a human needs to live on earth. What are your thoughts?
Water.
That's one.
Air.
Air is two. Food is three. That's the three main essentials. That's the three important ones. There's two more that I have.
Hope.
That's yes, very good. We absolutely. Any more? That's right. Yeah, we need that. Shelter. That's the other one that I have down. Yes. Thinking physically, to be able to survive physically. One more. I missed that one, but man, is that true. Never thought of that one. Yep. Right along with air, that's right, we need oxygen. There's one more I had, and that's gravity. We need, without gravity on this earth, you wouldn't be on this earth. So, thinking about the essentials that we need certain things on this earth to survive, we do. And that brings us, just to thinking about that, we begin to realize that we're needy people. Are we needy people? That brings us to the second point. We are created with needs. And as I think about the needs that we have, we have needs from the day that we're born until the day we die. And even in between, we need surgeries at times. Appendicitis, we need surgeries to survive. And so thinking about that, when we're born, if we're left alone, it's not going to take real long, and we're not going to survive. We're going to die. And so the question is, why did God create us this way? Why did God create us with so many needs? And, you know, wouldn't it have been easier for him to create us that we can take care of ourselves, that we can go through life and not need help from other people? And as I was thinking about that, why did God create us with needs? And one of the reasons is, we were created to desire relationships. Relationships was mentioned. We need relationships in this life. We really do. We need to interact with those friends and with family, and we need to. And today, in our world today, it's so much about individualism, where you can do it yourself. You don't need people. Even social media is another. Way of communicating without interacting, without relationship. And, you know, on the other hand, God has no needs. God was never created. He always was. He never had any needs. I'm not sure if it's safe to say that God don't even need us. Never had a need. And he doesn't need our worship. Does he need our worship? Yes, he desires it. He wants it. But God never had a need. And just thinking about God, you know, if thinking about why would God, who is so perfect, create us who is imperfect? And as I mentioned before, relationships is one. But I believe it is so we can learn to depend on Him, so we can learn to trust in Him, and in return, God is glorified when we, as His created beings, voluntarily learn to depend on Him and to put our trust in Him. That's what God, and God is in turn glorified as our needs are met. And so in the same way, it points others to Christ as other people see us depending on God for our help and to get us through. Other people see that, and it points other people to God as well. And so the third point is, why did God create us? And why did God create us? And I want to try to answer this question briefly this morning. Was it so we can go through life, we can get married, raise a family, and make money, and then when we die, give the money to the next generation, and that's our cycle of life? Is that why God created us this morning? So the first one I have here is to glorify Him, and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we are created to glorify Him. I want to read verses 16 through 17. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So everything that we see that's visible, that we can't see, that's invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, all these things, everything was created for Him, it says. By Him, He created everything, and it was created for Him. And so, in other words, God is in command of the universe. We see the universe, we know how the universe, how this earth revolves on its axis. It spins on the axis at 700 miles an hour. And it spins around the sun at approximately 70,000 miles an hour around the sun. And so that's the cycle the earth takes. And our galaxy, I'm told, is moving at a million miles an hour, the whole galaxy that the earth is sitting in. And so it's not chaos. It's been like that since the beginning of time, and it continues to it continues to take place. And it's not chaos. If there's chaos on this earth, it's man-made. God is a God that holds it all together, and all creation points to Him, points directly to God as the Creator. Everything that it's perfect, it's right. And I don't believe that God created all this stuff I know He created it quickly, but I believe He had a lot of planning and thought into this, just the how it's going to work and that it's going to flow and work properly. And God is a God of order, and it does. And creation points to Him. And so creation, we were created to glorify Him. Secondly, John Piper says, to display His glory to His creation as an overflow of His love. To display creation as an overflow of His love. And that is why God created. And why would He want to display the glory of His creation as an overflow of His love? Why? Because it is the nature of the fullness of His divine love to share it. That's John Piper's definition. It is the nature of the fullness of His divine love to share it, to be able to share a glimpse of His glory. And that's exciting. This morning. And thirdly, We are created for his good pleasure. I'm going to read a verse in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. We are created for his good pleasure. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I don't believe God takes pleasure or takes entertainment in us or seeing our needs. That's entertaining to him, but he takes pleasure, I believe, in being able to fulfill our needs, to see our needs being met, and him being having us depend on him to give us life and just the joy that we experience, and that gives him pleasure to walk us through seasons and to be able to fulfill our needs, to see us grow and build a relationship with him, and that is living the abundant life. For us as needy people to first acknowledge him, that he is God and he is the creator, to acknowledge him that he is the creator, and then to depend on him for survival. And that gives God pleasure, I do believe, and to walk in his footsteps. And the story is told of a boy who walked up to an old man. This old man was stooped over on the ground, and this boy walked up to this old man, and he was kind of sheepishly walked up to him, not sure what to expect. Why is this guy stooped over on the ground? And the old man said, "Yeah, come on over and take a look." So he said, What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm trying to make life easier for this ant." And this ant was on his way back to his home, his ant hill, and he had all the twigs and all the leaves and everything pushed out of the way so this ant could go right back home and make it right back home real easily. And the boy's like, what are you thinking? Why or would you be trying to do this to an ant? I mean, are you okay here? Is everything okay? And so he was, today we would kill as many ants as we can. So what's he doing here? So the man's response was, "This ant has no idea that I exist. This ant has no idea what I have done in making it easy for him to go home. He has no idea that I'm even here, that I exist. He's just going his way, taking his way back home. He has no idea how or who that he exists." And wonder sometimes if that's the way God feels today. There's many people who God created, and they don't take a care, or don't know, or don't even care about who God is, and yet he created them, and he makes a path for them to go. He provides for them a path, and they mind their own business. So fourthly, I want to look at is the evidence of an abundant life. So I am excited this morning that I see people here who are living the abundant life. And I am so blessed to look into your faces and to know that you are, and to see evidence, to see proof that you are living the abundant life. And it's a blessing. The first one I want to look at under the evidence is we are a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to read that verse. Verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So if we are in Christ, we are a new creature, and the old is passed away. There is evidence of a new life. And, the old man does come back at times, but life is different. Life is different than it used to be in Christ. And that is a blessing this morning. And I was thinking about that yesterday. I was doing some pressure washing at home over time that, nasty green filth likes to grow on your siding and on your on the side of your house. And it's been a while since I pressure washed. I'm not sure I ever did pressure washed our house. And so it was getting pretty bad. So it was time to. So I was pressure washing it, and I had gotten some degreaser from a place over in Myerstown, and sprayed that on first, and it was amazing what that does. You spray it on, let it soak for a while, and then you pressure wash it back off. And with against white siding, that it was starting to look pretty nasty. So there yesterday I was pressure washing everything. It's amazing what a degreaser and a pressure washer will do. You will be able to clean, and it made it into a new house, basically. And just thinking about that, you know, God, that's what God does. He takes the filth. He takes the nasty stuff in our lives, and he makes it into something new and cleans. We put some degreaser, maybe the word of God, into our lives, and then God's blood comes and washes over us and makes us clean, and that's such a blessing. So the second one under the evidence is we are growing. Philippians chapter 3, I'm just going to read two verses here. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So growing. To experience the abundant life, we cannot wallow in the past. We need to let go of the past. If you're here this morning and there's things in your past that are just, I mean, if it's something that is sin and needs to be taken care of, that's one thing. But if it's under the blood, you need to let go of it and move on. And that's what Paul said. I mean, think of Paul's life. What did Paul do? He went into the homes, right into the homes of Christians, and he took them out and killed them. That was his job description when he was early on in his life, before he knew the Lord. And Paul, I'm sure he thought of those times. When he's writing this, he had to think of the past times in his life where he was destructive, just murdering people. And yet he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And so we are growing. We are pressing towards the mark. We are living in anticipation of life eternal. Lastly, I want to look at is the call to action. And so we are given everything we need to live the abundant life. We are given salvation. Our needs are supplied. The joy of the Lord. Now what do? Do we just sit on the couch and praise the Lord? Or what do? 2 Peter 3:18 says, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To grow in grace, to get to know Jesus better and to know him. And it takes effort. It takes motivation on our part to know and to grow in the knowledge of him. And I would like to go to Joshua 1, but I don't think I'm going to take the time. Joshua 1, 1-9, you can write that down and look at that sometime. It is tremendous. I think I should do a sermon on Joshua chapter 1. But thinking about God speaking to Joshua and telling him to be bold, be courageous, God was telling him his job description to go to do. And Joshua is such an incredible role model. I really don't know if there's any mistakes that is recorded in the Bible of Joshua. There might be one, I think, where I read where he had made a treaty and he should have consulted God instead of making this treaty that they weren't supposed to make with a neighboring village or whatever. But just to think of his life, and he says, be strong and courageous. And he also says in there to meditate on the word and do it. Meditate on the word and do it. And And it says, if you want to be prosperous, that is what to do. That's the job description. To take the word, meditate on it, and then act on it and do it. And that is a blessing. So, thirdly, the call to action is to live a selfless, abundant life, not a selfish, abundant life. And I believe selflessness, peace will be attained so much more when self is not in the center of our lives. So, in conclusion, as we looked at life and the abundant life that God wants, so desires for us to have, as our needs are supplied, we glorify Jesus, and he is glorified, and then we see the fruits of living abundant life. And the stark reality is that not everyone is enjoying life in Christ, and there's many that have drifted. There is, I believe, some that have maybe at one time and drifted, and many people that are living for the moment, that are living for pleasures in this world, and without the joy of the Lord, and it is at times evident. But if that is you this morning, you are missing out on so much that God has intended for us. And God intended for us to enjoy life, to enjoy the abundant life, and to live a life that is rich, is filled with purpose and meaning. We were created here for a purpose, and so turn to Jesus. If you are not living the abundant life, come to the cross and turn to Jesus, and he will be there. He will take you, and he wants to be a father to us. Jeremiah 29:11-13, I'm not going to read that, but it talks about that his thoughts that he thinks towards us are thoughts of peace, and you shall find him when you search for him with your whole heart. So, as we think about, I would like to read here, real quick in closing, I'm going to read Psalms chapter 138. It's been meaningful to me recently, and I just really enjoy these two verses of Psalms 138, verses 7 and 8. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. So, we look at these two verses here. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, there's a problem. There is trouble in David. There's whatever it was in David's life, probably Saul chasing him down or something in this time. And there's three things that God will do. It says, thou wilt revive me. That's one. Thou. And I want to highlight thou. That's God that will revive us. So God will revive, and he will save us. Thy right hand, we think of a right hand as a strong hand, and maybe some people it's not, it's the other way, but in referring to God's right hand is the strong hand, and that will save me. And then thirdly, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The Lord will perfect our lives. And to think of how many times we try to perfect it ourselves, and we will try to do whatever we can on our own strength, and we try to do it ourselves. No, God wants to perfect us. It is by his mercy. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. And so, as we think about this subject this morning, God wants the abundant life for all who trust in him. And he doesn't single anyone out. It's each one of us. He wants us to trust in him, and he will give us. If we ask him and we bow our knee before him and ask him for help, he will certainly help. And The abundant life is certainly the best life that we can live. So remember that this week, as you go throughout the week, just to follow Jesus, to read his word, study his word, and just get excited about Jesus and what he has done for us. I believe you all smell the meal. It smells pretty good. And so I'm going to have a prayer, and I'll have a prayer for the meal. And then after that, Logan. Logan will lead us in a verse of song, and then you'll be considered dismissed. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to you again, and Lord, we want to praise you. We want to thank you for the life that you give us. And you told us in your word that you want to give us life, and Lord, that you want to give us abundant life. And we just want to praise you, Lord. We realize, though, that there are those that are not living the abundant life, Lord, but help us to reach out. Help us to be aware of the needs around us and just to be in contact and just to seek out those. And Lord, we just pray that as we go from here, that our lives would reflect you and that would just radiate the life that you give to us, that would radiate to others, and so they can see that and trust in you in return. Lord, I pray now for the meal that is prepared. Lord, I pray that you would bless all those that have prepared it and bless the trustees for their work in getting this together. And I pray, Lord, that we could use the strength today to serve you. Lord, just be with us as we go from here. Lead, guide, and direct us. In your name I pray. Amen.